This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. It's October 7th, 2014. And, of course, I welcome everybody. And this is our one-hour session about protecting and growing your money. I hope that's what we can accomplish. You know, at least accomplish more knowledge. You know, whether you'll be successful or not, it's hard to know. But at least you will go into investing with your eyes open and understanding how it works. That's what I hope this show can help you with. Well, now, we're together this 1 hour every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific Time, live, to talk about any money questions you might have. And please don't hesitate to ask those questions. You can get the questions or comments to me at 888-99-CHART or via Twitter at InvestTalk. You know, that's our Twitter ID. Or you can send me a note directly by clicking on Contact Steve or Contact Justin if you want to send him a note on our website at investtalk.com. Now, this past weekend in San Jose, we talked about a wide range. We had a conference there, a wide range of issues, subjects, to try to build a good foundation and understanding for retirement. And that's typical of what we do on this show every day. Whether you have questions about insurance or Social Security, it doesn't matter. They're all important. As long as it's a money question, we want to discuss it. If your own stock trading you're struggling with, you want a second opinion, bring it here. So please participate if you can. We'll talk about whatever your interests are. The challenge for all of us really is to keep balance with our own reality. You know, some people make a lot of money. Some people make a little money. Some people are heavily in debt. Some people have no debt. But how do you manage and grow your money for retirement? Because everybody needs to do a good job and a better job to prepare for retirement. I mean, there's been reports and statistics after statistics, or reports after reports of the baby boomer generation, my generation, not saving enough. And I don't think that's going to be any different from the generation that follows us and the one that follows us. They all are not doing enough. And it all comes, all of a sudden, you're 60, 65, 70 years old, and you don't have any money or enough money. You got to think about that early enough. So if you're buying mutual funds, ETFs, individual stocks, you know, maybe you need to think about what you're doing differently. Because maybe it's not working. If it's not working, one thing I can tell you is most people just ignore their portfolio. You know when they pay attention to it? When the stock market crashes, and they see their portfolio go down, then they want to sell. You know, and it's too late. Variably, it's too late. So we want to talk about all these issues. You can get in on the discussion right now at InvestTalk. You can talk to us live, 4 to 5 Pacific time, which is right now, Monday through Friday. Or if you can call, anytime you want, the same number. We call it the 24-hour listen line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, guys, this is Mike, podcast listener from Venice. Just a quick question on 401k that I have with my work that I'm currently at. I am a full-time student, so my 401k is just kind of a smaller one that I've gotten started about a year ago. My question is you guys are talking about how you guys are more than 50% cash, and I kind of wanted to, I've made a little bit of money on it, and I kind of wanted to be a little conservative here for the next couple months. So my question is I'm only given a select amount of funds that I can choose from, and I just wanted to know how I go about putting my particular investments into cash on this particular 401k. There's a couple small funds that look like they're, you know, there's one called FFTW Income Plus where it's $1 a share and it's, you know, less than 1% return. And I wanted to know basically if that's equivalent to cash, and there's two or three other ones that are basically, you know, 80 to 90% bonds, and I kind of wanted to stay away from that as well. So anyway, just wanted to see what your opinion was. And one other quick thing on that is I have an option to auto rebalance, and they give me the option to do it monthly, quarterly, or yearly, and just wanted to know if there's any benefits on any particular time frame on that. And I'll listen on the show. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, good question. The first answer is that fund you were talking about that had a dollar per share value. That's probably your money market fund. That's why you're making so little on it. And that is pretty close to equivalent of cash. Okay, in a 401k, that's where you want to be if you want to go to cash. The short-term bond funds, you get a little bit more return, but it's a little bit more risk, but not a lot. All those are short-term bond funds. So if you want to go to cash, that's how you do it. And just to make a correction, we're not 50% cash in our portfolios. We're more 25, 30%, and we've added a few shorts lately. And so, you know, we're moving a little bit away. We added a couple of longs last month, and we added a couple of shorts recently, and so we're not that much in cash. I don't think you need to worry. You're too young to worry about rebalancing. I think you need to be aggressive. And rebalancing means generally not being as aggressive. Now, the market will go down. It's going to go down. It always does. It always goes up. But the long-term bias is up. And if you're young like that, you just keep buying. Keep buying because you're not overbalanced, overweighted in a particular stock. You might be overweighted in a particular fund, but the fund itself has a lot of holdings. And you want to be aggressive when you're young. You definitely want to be aggressive. So here's a question that confronts many folks today. You're in debt and you're paying interest that's likely more than you could earn, even with some above average investments. Should you pay the debt off before you invest? Because you might probably could make more money investing, maybe not. Should you pay off the debt or should you put money to investing? That's going to be our talk about, especially if you're talking about a 401k. It's kind of a tough question, especially if your employer's matching some money for you. Do you pay off debt or do you put in the 401k? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. I also want to talk about housing. Are we seeing an unavoidable decline in home prices? Are we seeing that? And I got some interesting statistics to share with you on that. Did you see the report on Germany and their industrial production numbers, their factory order numbers? You see any of that? We're going to discuss that. And the IMF came out and lowered by a tick or two the global growth outlook. Should we panic about that? Should we worry about that? Those are things that I think we're going to be able to get to today. I hope so. I'm pretty sure we will. I mean, I think Justin talked about other things yesterday. We're not going over duplicates because I was bent out of town and I don't want to talk about things that he talked about. The market today, pretty bad day, huh? Down 273 points on the Dow. Now, I have written about it, talked about it, that there's been a spike in volatility in the last month. High, big up days, high, big down days. But if you look closely over the last month, you'll see a lot bigger down days than the up days. The up day could be up 150 points. The down day is 250 points. Up day is 80 points. The down day is 100 points. And if you're looking at a chart, you can see it very clearly. We have lower lows and lower highs. And that's in the last month. Now, we are still up for the year in most of the index, except for the small cap stocks. And I've mentioned that before. Small cap stocks are down several percentage points from the beginning of the year. The Dow and the S&P are still above it. And we cannot say at this point that we're in a downtrend. I mean, we can say that it looks like it's going to break through that uptrend and it's really testing it. It's very close. Maybe it broke today a certain trend lines, depending on how you draw it. But we can't say that. We can't say we've in a normal correction yet. No, we're not even close. I mean, we're halfway there. So that just because there's a lot of volatility, there's up volatility too. It's not just down, 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 down. I mean, so can it get worse? Well, October is known for being pretty volatile, but September is always the worst month. But October has been known for having the worst days in the market. And, everybody remembers, or most people remember. I got the newspaper right here, Wall Street Journal, in front of me. It's getting pretty old. But on October 20th, 1987, that market went down 20% in one day. Stocks plummet 508 points amid panicky selling. And you say 508 points. Well, you got to remember that the market was at 2,246. The Dow was 2,246. And went down 500 points. Ouch. It's far steeper, it says here, percentage decline is far steeper than the 1929 crash. And bond prices surged that day. Interesting. Now, I'm not predicting that we're going to have anything like that, but that event did not happen in a vacuum. There was volatility before that event happened. Volatility was increasing. And that's what we see today, volatility increasing. But there's been many times when volatility increase and nothing happened. Doesn't have to result in a big crash. It does not. And it doesn't usually. So don't panic about that stuff. Just pay attention and, be careful. We're pretty defensive and have been for some time. We've been wrong being too defensive this year. And maybe we should have been more aggressive on the long side. That's just the way it is. There's a new way to get into the conversation on InvestTalk. You can answer our Twitter poll. Have one every week for several weeks now. Here's our question. When it comes to managing your money, what do you feel you need to know more about? If you send it via Twitter now at InvestTalk, maybe we can talk about it on the show. That's InvestTalk with two T's. You can get to your question in time. You can do it the old-fashioned way and just give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Coming up this hour on InvestTalk Personal, some tips on how to handle life changes and still keep your cool about your money. That's coming up in the next half hour. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now.
Now, you know we're coming on earnings seasons. This week we'll start seeing numbers. Tomorrow, the traditional kickoff of the earnings seasons is Alcoa, symbol AA, and that's going to be reported after hours tomorrow. And they're looking for their earnings to about double from a year ago, 22 cents from 11 cents a year ago. And one of the reasons is because of the auto industry. And the auto companies are thinking about, are going to be building all aluminum bodies to reduce weight, to get better gas mileage, those kind of things. So Alcoa should be reporting good numbers. But it's always in the CEO's forecasts that everybody's paying attention to, the forecasts. Let's talk to Brenda in San Diego. How you doing, Brenda?
Hi, I'm very well. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Hi, thank you for taking it. I have a question regarding interest rates and what sectors will flourish when interest rates do rise, and likely they will rise slowly. And I wondered if you had a way to look back historically at other periods when interest rates rose. I would think that companies with strong balance sheets that don't need to borrow money would do better. And I'm looking particularly into stocks that pay a decent yield.
That's exactly right. When companies, what you're looking for is companies that don't have a lot of debt. Okay. Companies that don't have debt and pay high dividends, they usually do better when interest rates rise because they don't need to refinance. High debt companies do terrible.
Yeah.
And don't, if interest rates rise slow, don't be afraid of banks because banks will benefit from higher rates, believe it or not. Remember, they borrow money because they'll be able to lend it out higher and at higher rates than the Fed will raise interest rates. In other words, they'll stay ahead of it.
And what about, is that mitigated at all by the fact of all the new regulations that banks face?
Well, let me answer that after the break because I'm really up against it. How can you build my credit? Hold on, I'll be happy to do that. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Thanks for being a podcast subscriber. And even though you listen after our daily production time, you can still be part of the discussion. Your questions and comments set the tone and the topics, so please participate. Just call 888-99-CHART anytime. And if you'd like to talk live to Steve and Justin, just make that call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time.
You're listening to Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Now would be a great time to bring your question to the table. Any money matter is open for discussion. Steve is here to help at 888-99-CHART.
And we're talking to Brenda in San Diego, talking about what sectors, what companies might work better if interest rates rise. And we kind of know that interest rates are going to slowly rise. Brenda, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And you were asking before the break about, well, what about all the new regulations coming down on the banks? Won't that hurt the banks? Because I suggested that banks don't necessarily be afraid of them because interest rates are rising. But you brought up a good point about the new regulation and what that's going to do. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The new regulation is going to hurt their ability to make money. It's going to hurt. But you know what? I have a feeling that it's not going to kill them. And,
okay.
You know, if, and I don't want to get political, but if the Republicans take over to Congress in elections, they're going to probably water down that Graham-Dodd Act. And I could see that benefiting the banks. But even if they don't, you know, banks find ways to make money. You know, you can have all the regulations you want. They're going to go around them or do something. They'll figure out a new way to make money. I just don't believe that. You know, I think their profits will be held back, but I do think they'll find a way to make money, continue to make money.
And out of the banks, GS, BFA, JP Morgan, which one do you like, or Wells Fargo?
Wells Fargo's my favorite.
Yeah, why?
Because they're in the mortgage, more in the mortgage lending business, and I think their balance sheet looks better than the others. Remember, it depends on what sector you want to be in the banking industry. You want to be in commercial lending? Do you want to be in money management banking? Where do you want to be? Wells Fargo would be my first choice, but I'm not buying any banks right now. Don't think that I'm buying banks because I'm talking about them. Not yet, not for me.
And what happened the last time interest rates rose in terms of what sectors outperformed?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to go back and look that up because you remember we were in a 30 plus year down cycle interest rates.
Yeah.
And now we're at the bottom. So I think we're going to have a multi-year up cycle. And every time I say that, I get emails. People say, well, you've been wrong. You know, the interest rates have gone down this year. Well, I'm not talking in terms of weeks or months. I'm talking about years. We are in a multi-year up cycle where the low 30-year mortgage was 3.35 a year ago May. It went up to 4.25, then back to 4, now back to 4 plus. You know, that kind of movement, slow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what sectors do well in terms of strong companies with good balance sheets that don't have debt? Like utilities and telecoms wouldn't be too good, would they?
No. You stay away from anybody that has debts. Utilities are not where you want to be in. You don't want to be in REITs right now because of debt. You know, they do better. And they'll eventually do fine once they get used to the new debt, you know, new rise in interest rates. I think you'd be better off with companies that have very little or no debt.
Which are like what?
Like an Apple. I mean,
okay.
I'm not recommending you buy Apple or sell Apple. I'm just saying companies with lots of cash, which
mm-hmm.
Apple is one of them, any of those companies don't have to even think about interest rates.
Okay. Sure. Last question. Can you just tell me what you think of Cisco, and then I'll let you go.
Cisco Systems. I'm thinking Cisco, the food company, but the...
Not the food.
Cisco is a very good company. It is a big blue chip stock. Earnings are going to grow. Their sales have been picking up in the last quarter or two. They're going to be economically sensitive, and they're a little bit expensive right now.
What price would you get it at?
Brenda, thanks for the call. I gotta take the next call. Mike in San Jose. How you doing, Mike?
Good, thank you, Steve. I had a question on CRE. I was hoping you can look at a chart.
Okay.
See if you can probably get a CAD balance or something.
CREE?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's CRE. Let me pull it up here. CREE. CRE. Well, they've been growing nicely. The sales are growing 16% last quarter, or 20% the quarter before that, 24%. So growth is not a problem. Earnings were a little problem this year, $1.59 from $1.65 year over year. But next year, they're going to bounce up $1.90, according to this. CRE manufactures LED, ISCS, power switches, devices, silicone carbide, and gallium nitrate materials. So it's a tech material company. For the growth rate of about 20% or so, it's not a bad price at $31 with $1.90 earnings. That's not bad. It's not cheap. It's just not expensive. Okay? But its stock has been falling. So you just need to wait for it to stop falling. And I'm going to, on a yearly chart, you can't get that. Okay. If I go to a weekly chart, it's going to stop around $20 to $25, somewhere in that range is where it's probably going to stop. So I'd wait for that. Don't buy it yet. CREE, C-R-E-E. Okay. Thank you for the call. Thanks, Mike. A quick check of our checkup schedule. I will be in San Jose on October 22nd. If you'd like to schedule an hour with me for individual retirement accounts or just talk about our programs and whether we can help you, or you just want to talk about your finances, be happy to do that. So go to the calendar. You can see the calendar. Again, I'm going to be on 22nd in San Jose. To get an appointment, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment, and we'll give you a call.
This is the Tuesday, October 7th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Steve Peasley. Why are penny stocks almost always a bad idea? Penny stocks can be bad for your health. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. And of course, right now, there's still plenty of time to get in touch. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve on today's Invest Talk.
888-992-4278. Give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about whatever financial is on your mind. Debt or investing? Which one takes priority? Which one should you worry about most? Debt or investing? And this is not an easy question. It's not. For instance, I'll give you a hard situation. You have debt. You have more debt than you're comfortable with. And you work for a company that has a 401k that every dollar you put in, they put in a dollar. Should you pay off your debt first before you start, put money in your 401k and just skip the free dollar? Should you do that? I don't think so. So it's not an easy question, but let's give you some generalities. First of all, one of the things you can do if you have a lot of different kinds of debt is try to consolidate it. That might be a smart thing. Try to get it all, because most people have debt here, and your credit card debt, department store debt, or then they have car debt, and they have different debts. Well, maybe you should try to consolidate it. If it's so confusing, you're not sure how to get on top of it, maybe you should. But first, you got to make a decision to stop incurring debt. Quit incurring more debt. And I think it's a mindset that has to change that most people have trouble with. Changing the mindset about having debt. Why do you have debt? Because you buy things you don't really need. You buy things because you want them. Okay, I understand having wants, but for some reason, maybe I'm old-fashioned. When I grew up, my parents made me save up to buy the things I want. Save up your money and go buy it. What happened to that concept? It seems to be foreign to a lot of people. So stop incurring more debt. You got to start there. Then what you do, then you can consolidate it. Then create a realistic budget about paying it off. Realistic. don't go crazy, because it's like a dieter. You know, when people go on diets, if you cut cold turkey, everything you like to eat, of one of these days you're going to binge. You're going to blow it. You can't do that. You got to be comfortable. So you have to be realistic about it. And then maybe roll your debt payments into your investments. Once you get on top of your debt and your payment is, you say, thank God I'll be free. I'm free at last of my debt. Okay, I don't want you to feel free. I want you to take that money that you've been putting towards your debt and put it in investments. Don't spend it. This is the whole idea, to get out of debt and get into investing, saving, putting money aside. This all takes discipline, everybody. I know it's not easy. For some reason, it's always been easy for me, because of the way I was brought up. But I know from relatives, and I have lots of them, it's not easy for them to do this. But you have to come to the realization that you have to get on top of this at some point. And, you know, I know there's a lot of college debt, you know, student loan debt, and that is expensive. When I say expensive, it takes money out of your pocket every month, even though it's cheap debt. But it takes money out of your pocket every month to pay that off. And some of that debt is pretty high. And so you wouldn't consolidate that debt because it's cheap money. It's individualistic. You have to look at your and be realistic with yourself, what you can and cannot do. Now let's get back to the phone. I'm ready to answer any money questions. 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now.
Hi, this is Paul calling from Los Angeles. I listen to you on the podcast, and I have a question about shorting Best Buy. This is a good day to talk about it, given its movement today. I shorted it at $33.62 about a month ago. I watched it go up a little, and now the chart's doing pretty much what I thought it would be doing. And I'm wondering, technicals-wise, what you see happening, given that it's broken through a couple of moving averages now. And also, maybe more long-term, you see as causing this to happen with Best Buys, because you did suggest it being shorted a while ago when I think it was in the 40s with a certain valuation. And then I guess to finish that question, what do you see as the current valuation? Thank you for your show, and I look forward to hearing an answer. Thank you.
Best Buy, symbol BBY, operates, leases 1,900 stores. And everybody know, most people know about Best Buy. And the problem with Best Buy is the competition, the online competition that they're having. They're having a heck of a time. Sales been shrinking, you know, 3 to 9% quarter after quarter after quarter. They got to figure out a way to stop the bleeding on their sales. They don't have a lot of, companies run pretty darn well, except, you know, you've heard the term creative destruction, and many, I recommended reading that book titled Creative Destruction, and this is what they're dealing with. Their business model is being destroyed. Now, when I say destroyed, it doesn't mean they'll go out of business. It's being attacked successfully by a different kind of business model, and that's online retailing, especially in electronics, which used to be their bread and butter, which probably maybe still is. So the stock fell to almost into last year about $11, $12. It got as low as $11 in 2013. Okay, that's where it was low. And this year they've been slowly trying to recover, and they're at now they got up to about 35 today at 30. Now they're going to make $2.31 this year. Next year. They made 208 and this year. They already made it. You know, their fiscal year is over with, and then 231, 2015, and then 259 is what they're scheduled. So their earnings are going up. Dividend yield is 2.5. They're not superly overpriced at a 15 PE, but unless they turn those sales around, it's something that you've got to be very, very careful of. I think the stock is worth about $25. And even though the PE is not expensive, this stock shouldn't get a market PE. It should be less than market PE. For as long as their sales are falling, it's got to be less than market PE. And even though the PE is now 15, I'm thinking their PE should be around 10, 12. At $10, at $2.31, that's a 23 price. It's at 30 now. That's what I'm saying. I think it's worth about $25. That's what I think. This is InvestTalk Personal, the day-to-day money decisions we make that can have a lasting impact. Often people get excited when they have a big life event, like marriage, children, you know. And when that happens, when you get married, way too many people don't think about the financial planning of a now individual households to a couple household, or the financial planning of having just you, your husband and wife, to now children. They don't think about all those costs and how to plan for it and actually make the planning. You know, when you get married, do you know what the credit score of your spouse is? Because if you plan on buying a house, you better know. You know, if your credit is great, but theirs are terrible, guess what? You're going to have trouble. Especially in this market, what's going on today, you know, the banks want good credit. So but let's go ahead and focus on buying a house. Depending on which state you're in, it's very feasible to have trouble buying a house. For instance, if you live in New York City, Boston, Los Angeles, San Francisco, costs are astronomical. If you live in Cleveland, Dallas, Indianapolis, you can probably afford a pretty nice house. So you got to find out where you're going to live, and that's always a process. So think about credit scores. You know, 1 point, 2 points, 3 points make a big difference these days on qualifying for a loan. So think about your credit and how you can make it look better before you decide to buy a house or get married or any other situation. Get your credit score squared away, whatever your credit. You know, the more outstanding loans you have, the more difficult it is for you to qualify for a house. Think about that when you're thinking about it. Or tell your kids or grandkids about that. You know, don't keep it all a secret. Tell them how life really works. That's InvestTalk Personal. If you have a question about this topic or any other money matter, you can give me a call. You can send me a message on Twitter as well at InvestTalk with two T's.
It's kind of like a scale. You tell it what you think you weigh, and then it tells you whether you're right or wrong. This scale measures your appetite for risk. Try our free risk analyzer. It can tell you how you match up with your retirement portfolio. Try it out. It takes about 3 minutes and it's free. It's there for you on investtalk.com today.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta, podcast listener. What's your take on LeapFrog, the toy maker? L as a Larry, F as a frog. Going into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, do you think this company's up for a grab or it's not? Look forward for your wisdom. Thank you. Bye.
LeapFrog, and thank you for listening. I appreciate all the podcasters. I really enjoy the fact that you can hear the show and I get calls from all over the place. LeapFrog, out of Emeryville, California, manufactures technology-based educational products and related content for infants to young children. So they make toys. Educational toys. And that's why he's talking about, you know, the holiday season and their sales cycle in December. And I will tell you this, the problem you're having is their sales are collapsing. Sales shrank 43% in the most recent quarter, the June quarter. In the March quarter, down 31%. The December quarter, down 24%. The September quarter, up 4%. Last year, they were up 10, 15%. Now they're falling and falling faster. Now, will the Christmas season give them a nice bump up? Yeah, probably. Probably. But what is that worth? This is the problem. The stock is selling for $5.95. The highest it's ever sold for was $12 in 2012. And the lowest is $1 in 2009 during the recession. Okay. Now, they're going to make 18 cents this year. Well, what's 18 cents worth? And a company that sales are falling, it's not worth a lot of money. That's what it is. So at $5.95, that's not cheap. It's not cheap. $3, $3.50, $4, that's what it's worth. And only if they stabilize their sales. If they don't stabilize their sales, it's not even worth that. I wouldn't be a buyer of Leapfrog. See, a lot of people think and look at a price of a stock of $5.95 and think it's cheap. No stock is cheap based on its price. No matter what its price is, it's neither cheap or expensive based on that price. It's always based on the earnings of the company in relationship to the price of the stock. How much earnings are they going to have? For instance, you know, before Apple split, everybody thought it was a pretty expensive stock at close to $700 a share. And I argued, no, they were cheap. And it's still cheap based on their earnings. See, it's, you know, if they're going to earn X dollars per share, how much is that worth? And remember, stocks are always worth what they earn. And over time, a dollar's worth of earnings is valued differently. Sometimes it's a high value, like in the .com, the values were way up there. And sometimes they're really low, like the depths of the recession, the most recent recession, 2008, 2009, the bottom. Valued very low. And what are they now? Kind of on the high side, not astronomically high, but on the high side right now. People are valuing a dollar's worth of earnings on the high side. So that's you know, you have to learn the different matrices and different valuation methods to try to determine, well, where are we and is this justified? One good thing about Leapfrog, no debt. Management owns 6%. Those are good things. It's just that their sales have been plummeting. I mean, it's a $416 million company, so it's really small. But they only did $47 million last quarter. Not good. 888-99-CHART. You see Germany? Germany reported their August factory orders down 5.7%, almost 6%. July was up 4.9%, so this is a real downturn. And this is the first, probably, we're starting to see the effects of the EU's sanctions against Russia and Russia's sanctions against EU. We're starting to see some of the result of that. Now, Germany's most recent GDP number second quarter was a shrinkage of 0.2%. They're expected for the rest of the year, 0.1%, 0.1%, not 1%, 0.1% increase. You can't get much closer to no growth and possibly falling into recession. And why do I talk about Germany? Well, because Germany is the biggest economy in the EU, about 20-25%. And Germany's exports fell 8.4% in August. Exports fell. Remember, Germany's a big export. They export a lot of cars, a lot of other things. And the exports, some of their biggest clients, especially cars, is Russia and China. Both those places aren't doing that great. China's growing, but it's growing less. Russia, recession. So it doesn't look good for the whole EU. The EU is going to struggle. And that's why they're trying to come up with their own QE kind of programs. We're coming up on the last segment of the program. Do you still have a question churning in your mind? There's still time. Give me a call. 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. And coming up on the next Invest Talk, why are penny stocks almost always a bad idea? That's our talking point for Wednesday, October 8th, and we hope you'll listen to that podcast. If you have a question for Steve or Justin, you can ask it anytime at 888-99-CHART, and they'll answer it on the next podcast. This is Invest Talk. and we're pulling a money quote from the old archives. Too many people spend money they earned to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. That's from Will Rogers. We're glad you invested this hour with us today. Talk to Steve now at 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're here for you. Beginner or experienced investors are always welcome. 888-992-4278. You can call.
Yeah, my name is John. I'm from North California, and it's an AM 1220. And my question was about the railroads. I'm very ignorant about investing money, but little birdie told me that one of the big railroad companies was going to convert to natural gas, and I wanted to know your viewpoints on it. So maybe you could throw that out there next
year.
I appreciate it.
Well, I could see that making sense. You know, natural gas is cheap, and we have plenty of it. So I can see the conversion. And we know there are going to be more conversions of, you know, trucks and long-haul trucks and buses and those kinds of things. The question is, are we going to get a lot of that conversion into automobiles? And I'm not quite sure if we are or aren't, but that is the process. Now, when you're investing in railroads, it's already pretty cheap. A gallon per mile of transportation, you know, for the amount of products they move. So, you know, the reason why railroads would do better if the energy costs go up, believe it or not. Because remember, what's their competition? Where's their competition? It's trucks. And what do they use? Diesel fuels. And, you know, so if prices go up, it helps railroads. If prices go down, it doesn't necessarily help them. And of course, railroads are very economically sensitive. So if our economy is growing and expanding, it's better for, you know, trucking and railroads and all kinds of things. You know, it's better for them. I do like railroads in general. Warren Buffett bought a big railroad a couple of years ago. I don't remember how exactly years ago, 2-3 years ago. And I do think that it's a very simple business model. They move products from point A to point B. And in the Midwest, they don't have enough pipelines to move the newly discovered oil and natural gas, and they've been moving it by railroads, so that helps them. So, without looking at any individual railroads, I kind of like them. Now, when the market goes down, they're going to go down. But maybe that's an opportunity for you to buy into your railroads. Let's go to Sherry from Fremont. How are you doing, Sherry? Cherie.
I'm doing well. How are you, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call, Cherie.
Okay, now you just mentioned about a few minutes ago how the market is behaving one day up, next day going down, mm-hmm. and it's going down more than going up.
Yep.
In this kind of environment, and considering this is almost getting October and the earnings season, what should be the strategy from investing again? I mean, assuming you have certain cash that you have created,
right.
and now you want to get back, how would you get back into the market? And what will trigger that?
Okay, good question. How do you get back in the market when you're sitting on cash? Well, September's the worst month. October is the most volatile month, usually historically speaking. But usually October also marks a bottom. Okay, that's very common. And I think what we're seeing is a lot of volatility that will probably shake out and will follow. We may get a big correction. We may not. You know, we haven't had one since 2011. We're way overdue. But I think on this next correction, you're going to wait a little while to see what, remember, earnings season is coming. And Cherie, if the CEOs start talking about how they see a much more difficult prospects going forward, the market's probably, you know, or the market will probably fall more. If the CEOs come out and say, you know, they see pretty decent earnings in the next quarter, in the beginning of next year, then you'll see the market stop falling. And you should see volatility slow down. If you see volatility slowing down, that tells you better start thinking about getting back in the market. Right now,
but the question is, will the volatility really go down? Because the factors that is creating that situation is really coming from outside.
Yes.
And that we don't control. United States doesn't control that situation. So how is it going to play out? What do you think?
Well, we don't control what's I've written this all year long and talked about it, that, you know, the problems in our market is not going to be from here. It's going to be from outside of here. So you got to see, you would like to see the EU when they start really doing QE there, that might be a signal mm-hmm. that time to get in. Right now they're just okay. talking about it, but they haven't really done anything. That might be a good signal. Sherry, got to go.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate the call. Before we close for the hour, a reminder to try our new risk analysis tool. It's free on investtalk.com, two T's. You can help you match your own risk tolerance with what you're really investing in. Do they match up? Are you more risky or less risky? I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. On behalf of Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, we thank you for listening, and please join us again tomorrow on Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.